IFPRI Policy Seminar, Aflatoxins, Finding Solutions for Improved Food Safety, held on Tuesday, November 5th in Washington, D.C. Speaker, Cheryl Schneider, World Food Program.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the opportunity of being here with such an interesting combination of information and experts who have come together to see the problem of aflatoxin on the world level through all of the different levels of interest. I'll be talking to you today about the Blue Box, which is part of the P4P pilot initiative, one of the initiatives of the World Food Program. As you probably know, the World Food Program is has as its main objective attending people during emergencies, either during the emergency, preventing emergencies, or recovering emergencies, food-related emergencies, political emergencies, climate-related emergencies, and so forth. So therefore, the World Food Program has an interesting and extensive power of purchase in much of the world where it is operating. And the decision was made several years ago to focus that purchase power to local development. And so, therefore, we are working at procuring the staple grains at the local area, at the local government areas, and at the local country levels, where we will be distributing the foods. Now, one of the problems came when you do local purchases, as David said, you really run into problems in different areas with quality, with food security, not only food security, but food quality measures, food safety measures, and one of these is aflatoxin. Our story goes back with the Blue Box to about 2006, when a donor to the World Food Program in Guatemala said that the corn-soy blend that they were purchasing, or that they were supplying funds for the purchase and distribution in Guatemala, had to be produced locally. But not only produced locally, but also be produced with local raw materials, the main raw material being, of course, maize. And the local industry said, we can't do that. Guatemala maize is filled with aflatoxin, and there is no way that we're going to be producing that product, and even more so, even let it get into our plant and contaminate our plant. Now, the Guatemalan population has been eating maize for, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years. Guatemalan is known as the country, Los Hombres de Maíz, the men of maize. And so we thought, something has to be going on here. There must be some way of having aflatoxin-free maize. It must exist. And so we embarked on a project. We went a step further and thought, how are we going to be certain that the local farmers who are participating in this project know whether or not their production has aflatoxin? And let's go a step further. When we talk about productivity, how do they know which agronomic practices and post-harvest practices are most important to keep aflatoxin out of their maize? So we came up with the idea of the Blue Box. The Blue Box is a field laboratory that fits in that blue box there. And it's a blue box because that's the only color box that there was in the local marketplace when we bought the box. So there's nothing tricky about being blue. And that gives you a little idea. The first part of the project was carried out on the Pacific coast in Guatemala. And there is one of the field persons telling the farmers for the first time about the blue box and how to use it and what the distribution is. Now, the blue box does not substitute WFP's Q and Q program. All of WFP's purchases have to go through a third-party evaluation system where they ascertain the compliance with WFP specifications. The Blue Box is designated or designed to work specifically with smallholder farmers' organizations, and it is used as both a teaching tool and a screening tool. Of course, this is a short list of what's in the Blue Box. There may be a few other squirt bottles or something like that there. But first of all is a grain trier. We purchase locally a grain trier that's made locally for coffee, which is much less expensive than bringing in a grain trier from the States. This costs us about, maybe $10 or so forth. We use digital scales, and really the only complicated piece of equipment that we have are the official USDA grain docking sieves. In our first experience, we found that none of the maize was rejected because of aflatoxin, but rather because of kernel size. The local industry needed a kernel that fit in its specifications for its milling line, and the grain that was coming out, or the kernels that was coming out of the farms were just too small. And so that's why we included the sieves. They've also been very helpful in separating out extraneous material or foreign material and so forth. There's a current converter from direct current to alternating current, so that this can be used in field areas where there is no regular electrical current. Of course, there's a moisture meter and an aflatoxin testing kit. We used the Reveal kit from Neogen, not because I wanted to give propaganda to Reveal and Neogen, but at the time that the kit was, or the blue box was designed, this was the kit that had been approved by AOAC International, and we wanted something that had the support of the international scientific community. That also has a starter kit with a small mill, a timer, pipetter, and pipetter tips, and so forth. We only need to purchase locally a methanol solution or an ethanol solution, and then we have variated sample cups, tubes, filters, graduated cylinders, and so forth, and obviously the blue box. Now let me tell you a little bit more about how we use it. This was the first year when the truck came to pick up the maize, and when we found that there were problems with the grain quality. Here's the farmer, here's the field, and here's the maize. Now I'll go on to different steps in just a minute. This is what maize looks like in Guatemala. I don't know if many of you know Molly Wilson from the Howard G. Buffett Foundation. She's a person about my size, and you can see that corn really gets big and tall in Guatemala. And here it's just tasseling. Guatemala has beautiful corn. This is probably a hybrid, but the local varieties are that size or even taller. Now, after the corn plant has reached maturity, in Guatemala it's doubled over or broken over. The farmers say that's so that the birds will not eat at the grain, and it's also to protect it from water as it continues to dry. The rain will fall and it will just run off the ear. Whether it's effective or not is doubtful. We found similar results from broken over grain or bended over grain. Or stalks and not bended over stalks, but it's part of the custom in Guatemala, and so that's why we continue with that, or the farmers continue with that practice. Here, the grain or the corn has been harvested. You can see the ears. It's almost all picked by hand. Here, it's shelled in the local area. The Indian women, the other two pictures were in southern Guatemala, and this is in the northern part of Guatemala where we have a higher concentration of Mayan Indian population. And here we go through part of our quality process. In the southern part of Guatemala, the farmers, after they learned about aflatoxin and dockage for different kinds of damage, the farmers tend to pick out the moldy ears. In the northern part of Guatemala, the women go through the individual grains, looking for cracked grains, moldy grains, insect damage, and so forth. Then the grain is either stored in this kind of silo. It's a metal silo distributed in part by the Ministry of Agriculture. The Ministry of Agriculture will provide the galvanized metal, and the farmers must provide the money for the construction to a local laborer or a local artisan. When the corn will go into commerce rather than into local storage, it's usually transported in sacks like this, and here you can see a man doing the sampling with the trier in one of the big trucks like the truck we saw earlier. Now, As I mentioned, this is the blue box, and this is a pair of young technicians in the South Coast where they have the blue box. Let's see. Here they have the moisture meter. There's the aflatoxin kits are over here, and they have the set of sieves over here. The man has the trier. That's a pipetter in his hand here. The trier must be over here. But it's something that all will fit in the box. Here in the eastern part of Guatemala, up in the mountains, a lady is doing the moisture testing. She's a local farmer in that area. Here she's weighing out the grain for the determination of extraneous material that she'll be going through, that will be going through the sieves shorter. And you can see the women in the back going through the different kernels, picking out the damaged grain. And finally is the aflatoxin test, where the Indian women in northern Guatemala are looking at the little stick to see whether or not there's aflatoxin. Here we have a group of farmers in a similar part of the country who are learning about the blue box, and our technician Byron here is showing them the sheet that we use to write down all of the results. You can see the interest here among the people. The farmers' groups are fascinated by this. They really realize that in order to get into quality markets, they need this kind of tool. So, just so far, the farmers' organizations have sold over 13,000 tons of grain to WFP, and of this, only to WFP in Guatemala, only two of the shipments have been rejected, but not because of, for aflatoxin, but not because of failure of the blue box. It's just been poor handling later. Somebody else added grain to it, or the truck was caught in 3 days of a tropical depression, and so everything was soaking wet. I'll be very happy to respond to questions later, and I now have a red card, so good afternoon.